Blog Talk Radio.
Boss Lady Publishing.
It's the one and only the boss lady, Nene Capri. I hail all the way from North New Jersey. I'm the author of the Pussy Trap series, Trust No Bitch series, and my latest book under G Street Chronicles, Tainted Lies, Fear, and Death. You can holler at me at NeneCapri.com. I'm on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram as Nene Capri. I'm coming to a library near you. Trapping.
Yes, welcome, 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 everybody. It is Tuesday night. Y'all know what time it is. It is time for your radio tailgate party, the Scoreboard Sports Show. Now, my name is Tony, and I'm going to be joined here momentarily by Mr. Jazz. But those that were with us last week, I do recall Jazz saying that he would be here minutes before 8. I'm just saying. That's our Jazz. Gotta love him. Just gotta love him. Well, anyway, did I speak too soon? Let's see what he got to say. Hey, Jazz, how you doing?
Hey, what's up? What's going on, man? What's happening?
Did you hear that little talk about you?
I caught the little end of it. It's cool. It's cool. It's all right. I wouldn't expect anything less. It's all good.
You know, don't want to disappoint you, but Jazz, welcome. You're here. You're early.
Yeah, I know, right? I told you I was going to be.
You done throw me all off. I haven't even done my house cleaning for Boss Lady.
Do
you just done threw everything up in the cat room.
Do your thing. No, do your thing. Do your thing.
All right. Well, as y'all can see, my partner in crime is in the building. You must have pulled up in Nene's spot because you in here mighty quick. I'm just saying, but I'm not going to tell her. Once again, you guys are listening to the Scoreboard. My name is Tony, and I got the one and only man in all sports, Mr. Jazz, over there getting himself situated. Now, y'all heard Nene give that little commercial. We got to get her to Nene Capri drop because she has had so much going on since Tainted Lies, Fear, and Death. She actually is penning the Pussy Trap Part 5, guys, and it's about to heat up this summer. It's supposed to drop in July. Yes, so we are just patiently waiting. But while you are waiting, make sure you get caught up with Parts 1 through 4, you know, just in case you try to sneak something in there that we are just not sure it should belong. You know, we trappers, we pay close attention to what the Boss Lady's pen does. So get caught up. We're 1, 2, 3, and 4. And while you're over there in Nene Capri world, pick up some more books that she has graciously given us, like the Dreamweaver and the Trust No Bitch series. She actually co-wrote that with Cash, Street Lit author. And speaking of Cash and Nene, they're penning the prequel to that series, the Trust No Bitch series. So we got a lot to anticipate coming out of NeNe's camp. And Jazz, I'm about to say you getting ready to write a book.
Uh-oh,
the writing is on the wall.
No.
Author Jazz Scoreboard.
Nice.
But speaking of Cash, he's also penning Thugs Cry 3 for those that are anticipating that drop. I know I'm one of them because 1 and 2, oh my gosh. Man, Cash, I got writing on the brain tonight. Get caught up with parts 1, 2, and 3 with that Trust No Bitch series because Cash is going to drop the prequel to that. And in addition to that, NeNe also has Diamonds, Pumps, and Glocks. She actually co-wrote that with a beautiful authoress, Black. So pick that up. Now, she has authors under her brand, the NeNe Capri Presents brand. She has The Wrath by author Rance McNeil. He is our Black. And also has Sinful Lust by the beautiful Imani Hilton. That's the Black Widow. And the Devious Deception by the beautiful Escamillion. And some of our sponsors here on the scoreboard include, but are not limited to, the Brit Network, 1K Media, and the Media Vision 848, and then is Baby, the Iron Throne Magazine. And don't forget the Fleet DJs of the ATL down in Jazz Country.
Yeah.
And the last but not least, my baby, it has me so busy, Jazz. I have my site up. It's bookwriteediting.net. So head on over there and check me out. I'm actually going to get off the scoreboard tonight and finish up a script. So that is our house cleaning. Our bills are paid. NeNe's lights are still shining bright. Welcome to the scoreboard. What's going on, Jazz?
Yeah. Ain't nothing. Zanner. Well, let's see. While you get situated, we had a couple. Well, the biggest thing that happened this weekend was you had UFC 211 pay-per-view. The card was awesome. Now, every fight was a great fight.
Mm-hmm.
But the co-main event with Joanne Jett, I can't pronounce her name for save my life.
Mm-hmm.
The champion at strawweight, she beat up Jessica Andrade, like literally beat her up for 5 rounds. But old girl never stopped, never quit, and actually the whole 5 rounds she kept coming forward. She kept pressing the fight. It was impressive, but it was really. It just got, it was like I was hoping that she would just fall. Just drop because you're getting beat up. So, but that went to decision. Then the main event was, I can't pronounce his name, Strip Miak. I'm going to call him Miak for lack of a
better. You're doing better than me.
Miak. Yeah, Miak. He fought Junior Del Santos, and for people who follow UFC, who have followed Junior Del Santos, this was crushing because he got out for real. He got knocked out. He got knocked out. That wasn't cool. And he was actually doing well with the leg kicks, and then for some reason, he stopped throwing leg kicks. Then he got knocked out. So that was Mr. Miak. 5th straight title defense, and from what the commentators and from what people have been saying, he is the right now he's the and heavyweight, he is the man to beat right now. And also I just wanted to mention Frankie Edgar fought a guy named Yair Rodriguez. And I was a big fan of Mr. Rodriguez. I was. Really unconventional, a lot of kicks, you know, doing a lot of unconventional things. He fought Frankie Edgar, and Frankie Edgar, no, beat is too soft of a word. He dominated dude, straight up.
Really?
He just straight, young dude. Mr. Rodriguez is a young dude. And, you know, when you're a young dude, you know, it's like when you were a young kid and you play with your uncle, and your uncle be like, nah, you're going to make me put that thing on you. He ain't going to do nothing. Yo, Frankie Edgar played the uncle, dude, straight up. Just straight up mailed him and did what he wanted to him and beat him. He dominated him. So I wanted to mention that. And you got a couple of good fights coming on this weekend. You have Terrence Crawford is fighting Felix Diaz on Saturday on HBO. And you also have Gary Russell Jr. is fighting Oscar. Escadin. Something like that. But it's on Showtime. So both of these fights start at 10 o'clock. So HBO is Terrence Crawford. Showtime is Gary Russell Jr. Either the fights, you won't be disappointed because they're both great fighters. And, you know, that's all that's going on right now. To the Earl Spence fight.
That's a lot going on.
Yeah, there was supposed to be some boxing coming. Oh, and one more thing. For people who have a pretty long memory, if you remember a guy named James Toney that fought at middleweight, he fought Bernard Hopkins. He fought at light heavyweight. He is now a heavyweight. And he fought this weekend and he won. He won by decision, people. So James Toney is still fighting. And I don't know how old he is.
I was about to say, how did he look?
I didn't see it. When I saw it on the crawl, I was like, James Toney can't be James Toney. But then when I saw it, but heavyweight, I said, yeah, that's James Toney. At heavyweight, that's James Toney. Because he went from middleweight to super middleweight, the light heavyweight, the cruiserweight, the heavyweight. So he'd been steadily gaining weight and gaining fight. So he is still fighting people.
Yes,
you remember, he's still fighting.
How can he effectively continue to fight with all those different weight classes? I mean, does it not affect his stamina,
well,
his ability to continue? How does that work?
He's a banger. He's not like the younger guys. The lightweights. He's not a move around guy. He's a banger. He stands there. He punches you, and you punch him, and we'll see who hit hardest. It's that simple. He's not gonna move around a lot. Yeah, he not gonna move around a lot. He not gonna chase you. He gonna stand there, and when you ready, you come on over, and we could punch each other in the face and see who fall. That's the way he fight. Old school. He ain't doing a lot of moving.
Wow. All right now. Well, that's our boxing update from the man that knows it best. Thank you, Mr. Jazz. Thank you for that. I saw some of it this past weekend. You know, it was a busy weekend for me. My son graduated from college on Saturday.
Yeah, Kyle.
I'm so proud of Mr. Kyle.
My man. That's my man. I know him. That's my man.
That's your boy. He actually asked about you. And my daughter's graduating next Tuesday. So
what?
I got a
congratulations.
2017. Thank you so
much.
So we will not be on the air next Tuesday. She's graduating at 7 p.m. next Tuesday evening. I'm so proud.
Congratulations. Enjoy yourself.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I try.
Yeah.
Hard work, Jazz. Hard work.
I know.
You hear me?
I know. I feel you. So now,
other than that, I'm just getting caught up on what's going on in the sports world. I feel like I've been out of the loop this weekend. So much was going on.
Let me ask you a question real quick.
Okay.
Let me just start right now. Let's just start it off. Did you see the game? Did you see game one, San Antonio, going to State?
I was actually driving home. You know, that's a 7-hour drive for me. So we left Sunday on Mother's Day. But I was listening to it on Sirius on satellite. I caught the last maybe quarter and a half. Right after Hawaii went out. That's when I caught it.
Oh, That's my question. So my question to you is, do you think, because I know by now you didn't see the replay a million times, is Zaza,
heard about it.
Is Zaza a dirty player? I'm going to ask you. What do you think?
Okay, we're going to bring in Louie. Louie, when you're ready, pressure one, and we're going to talk about this because it has been all over the sports waves talking about whether or not he's a dirty player and whether it was a dirty player as well. So let's bring in Louie Mack so we can get into the nitty-gritty. Hey, Louie, how you doing, buddy?
I'm good. How about you guys?
What's happening?
I'm good.
I'm good. You know, just watching sports and doing the thing out here, man. ATL's burning up, man. We got to figure out a way to kill off some of this humidity.
Already?
Already.
Wow. Well, it's pretty nice up here in the Northeast, so it's pretty comfortable. We got a nice cool breeze going on, but it's going to get hot tomorrow.
If I could stomach New York sports teams, I might consider it, but I can't be that close to the enemy.
See, Louie, you're about to have some trouble with your mic.
I'm just saying, I can't be that close to the enemy. I'd rather just deal with the humidity and the stickiness. I'm all right.
Just tell him we have mic trouble when you start talking about my home team.
Yeah, that's mysteriously things happen, you know, mysteriously.
Oh, no, that you're throwing the mysterious word in there. All right, Jazz. That was a good
one. Jazz, it might just be turning into the Tony show at this point because you and I both almost might start messing up here soon.
Yeah, she wanna get on a soapbox. I ain't nothing you can do. Just deal with it, man. It is what it is.
Wait, Jazz, you know that song?
She the queen.
You know that song
queen,
you like?
Man. She the queen.
The boss chick. Go ahead. You like that song,
yeah,
right,
man,
Jazz?
No doubt. You know, you know they rule the world, man. Look, we just here for, you know, for some giggles and some chuckles. That's all we here for. See, that's why she laughing every time we come on. We just here with comedy relief. That's okay.
Jazz, y'all do it so well.
We try. Hey, don't want to get beheaded. So that's another story, though. Another story.
You never disappoint. But, So let's talk about this dirty play.
Try. So what do you think? What do you think, and Louie Mack, what do you think? Do you think that Zaza, former Atlanta Hawk, I might add, is he a dirty player? Was the play dirty, straight up?
I got two things to say about this. First, no, that is not a dirty play. Dude made a move, tried to contest a shot. He stuck his foot in the wrong place. I believe completely, you know, accidental. Like, I don't think as much as physical as the playoffs get, I don't think Zaza put his foot there so Kawhi would land on it and get hurt and, you know, have that possibility. The second thing, Greg Popovich needs to sit down and shut up about calling people dirty players because he was a firm supporter of the dirtiest player of his generation and Bruce Bowen for years and defended him and defended him and defended him to the media. Yeah. And now he's going after somebody else who's being accused of being dirty. Popovich needs to just sit down, cool down, and shut up about it because Bruce Bowen was – just as physical, if not way more physical than that play was, and dirty, and got the ire of all the people in the league, and Pop defended him tooth and nail every time it came up.
Yeah.
Oh,
Tony, do you
tell
agree?
Tell us how you really feel. I'm gonna switch lanes, and I'm gonna say it was kind of dirty because if you look at Zaza's history, and even with Kawhi Leonard, you know, where he almost took his arm off at one point. But he's all good and dandy when he's on your team. But they were killing the Warriors. They were killing them from what I was hearing and seeing until he went out. And then who's the threat to take that game one? Who's the threat to take that series is the one and only Kawhi Leonard. So I'm kind of on the fence with whether it was a dirty play. I mean, it is what it is. You got to have the room for the player to fall, to land. So I'm on the fence about that. How about you?
I mean, okay, I know the Spurs were up big, but the Warriors had already started the comeback. Like, they were already coming back and going to make this a game before Kawhi Leonard got put out. Like, Kawhi Leonard coming out definitely made that a lot easier for him, but the Warriors had already flipped the switch at that point and were about to make this a game anyway. So I don't know if I would call it intentional to try to slow down Kawhi Leonard to make it easier for him, because that comeback was already coming. Losing Kawhi for the rest of the game just made it a little bit easier.
But when he went out, there was at least a 18-19 point deficit. So where would be the comeback, you know? Because he was on a roll. Kawhi, despite being out with that ankle injury and despite, you know, tweaking it just in the midst of the game, that was the second tweak. But to take out the one threat, you know, you look at the team and say, what is going to help us win this game? And who's in the way? Kawhi's in the way. So yeah, that's why I'm kind of up on the fence about whether it was a dirty play, because he is known to be a dirty player, you know, point blank. You can't take that away from him. What about you, Jazz?
Well,
how do you feel about it?
Well, but, I mean, I don't know about this whole dirty player thing, because, I mean, you know, Kevin Garnett was supposed to be a dirty player. You can name 10 different players who they said played dirty, and then they say they played hard. I mean, but at the end of the day, I mean, he came down on his foot. Happens all the time in the NBA. Happens all the time. The fact that it happened during game one, up 18, regardless, it happened in game five in Houston. Wasn't nobody calling that dude dirty. So, I mean, I don't think that Zaza went out there. I don't think that any NBA player is going to go out there and hurt another NBA player. I just think that the fraternity, you just don't do that. I mean, and I don't think that you had a guy like Mike Brown on the sideline talking about, yo, go out there and let him step on your foot so we get him out of the game so we come back and win. You know what I'm saying? It's just, it was an injury. It's any injury like any other injury. Now, the fact that it turned the game, Curry, but you said that Leonard was hot. But Curry was hot, too. So, who's to say? I mean,
Curry didn't get
I'm on
hot
both
too.
Sides.
From what I heard, he didn't get hot until afterwards, until you know, his 40 points came when he was out of the game, when Leonard was out of the game, if I'm not mistaken.
I don't know if he dropped the whole 40 when he was out the game. I mean, he went out the game in a certain part
late
of third,
in the
quarter,
third quarter,
but
yeah,
I mean,
about midway through the third quarter,
Curry came out the locker room blazing. But I mean, that notwithstanding that, the bigger question is. He's not playing tonight, as you know, I figure. And so my thing is, can they avoid getting swept if he doesn't play tonight?
Oh, yeah.
It's hard.
Yeah, I think honestly, even with Kawhi at 100%, I don't see this being really much of a test for the Warriors. Because I'm going to chalk up a lot of their miscues to having like almost a week off from sweeping the series before. You know, you got almost a week off. You know, you got a tough opponent in the Spurs coming in. You're going to have a little bit of more rust. You're going to be amped. You're going to, you know, be a little bit wild to start. And like it showed, you know, about halfway through the third quarter and all the way through the fourth, the Warriors were just on fire. And I think the Warriors are clicking. I don't think even with Kawhi that the Spurs were going to make much of a fight anyway. But the Spurs will win one. Wow. They're a good team. They're a really good team even without Kawhi. They do just fine without Kawhi. They're like 8-1 this year without Kawhi, or over the last 2 years. They're 8-1. So it's not like Kawhi is their only good player. I mean, so they'll get one. I don't think it'll be a sweep, but they'll get one, maybe two. And the Warriors move on to the finals.
Well, you say,
but
Michelle.
I think Louis, you know, I think, you know, with he's stating some facts within the last 2 years, but he had help with Tim Duncan. This is his first year without Tim Duncan. So he did have help on that reign, but he plays too much of an important role for them to get swept. I do not see them getting swept, and I was hoping they take game one because I want the Spurs to spank them Warriors. I may be in the minority, but they just get a little bit too cocky for me. And I know those are your boys, Jazz, but that's what sports is all about, everybody has an opinion.
Coming from a New York fan, she's worried about teams being cocky. Got it.
Yeah, no doubt, right?
And, I got this.
Exactly.
And I just wanted to say, you talk about being cocky. Is there any coach more cockier than Popovich?
Oh, man. He's scared when he gets those post-game interviews. Oh, my God, I feel for those poor reporters.
Go, Jess.
No, you was good. No, I'm good. I'm good. Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, even though I went in on Pop when we first started this conversation about backing up Bruce Bowen and now calling, you know, Zaza dirty, you know, Pop is still, you know, arguably the greatest coach in the NBA right now. I mean, you got to consider him in the top echelon of coaches of all time. So, I mean, the guy's a brilliant coach. He's a brilliant strategist. He's going to put his guys in a situation, even without Kawhi Leonard, to succeed. Mm-hmm. It's going to be whether or not LaMarcus Aldridge and an aging Tony Parker and an aging Manu Ginobili can turn back the clock and, you know, make a little bit of magic happen.
Well, I will say this. The last two games, game six in Houston, game one in Golden State, Aldridge looked like the Portland Trailblazers are. So if he could continue that, whatever he's drinking, if he keeps drinking it,
right.
they can squeak out a game, maybe two. But my thing is, Ben, it still all depends on Leonard, because, I mean, Leonard's the key. I agree with both of y'all. Leonard's the key. I mean, nothing goes without Leonard. I mean, Aldridge could only do so much with an agent, like you said, Tony Parker, Patty Mills. It's good to see, but it is good to see Simpson. It is good to see Simmons coming into his own,
right,
getting more playing time. Mm-hmm. That's great to see. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And they got a good bench, but I just don't think they can score enough to beat Golden State. Like I've always said, they just can't score with them. They don't have enough weapons to score with them. But now, we'll go to the Eastern Conference, and let me ask the same question.
Oh, geez.
Does Boston get swept?
Yes. I'm not even going to wait. Yes.
I agree. Where's my broom? Let me
check
the chat room, the clubhouse room.
You know what?
I think
that the league will mandate Boston will win a game in Boston.
I don't.
Why you think they're gonna mandate
LeBron
it?
It's the league,
come on,
man.
You don't know
they
that professional sports is fixed.
They play the first two games in Boston. And as you saw on Sunday, after a week off, Boston could jump on them and win game one. I don't think they win any game after that. But I think that they will probably win game one.
Game one is their only shot at winning a game.
Yeah.
And it's only because LeBron James is on a freaking mission. LeBron James, I haven't seen, like, LeBron James looks so dialed in right now on the court that it's not even close. Like, we're not, like, the MVP race at this point is no longer talking about who's the best player in the league this season. We're now officially talking about who is the second best player this season behind LeBron James. Like, that's the only thing the MVP race should ever be, because LeBron is on a whole nother level right now. It's ridiculous. I don't even like the
man. And speaking
of, the dude is on a mission.
You don't, He is. And speaking of LeBron James, okay, I'm going to backtrack because if there is a game for the Celtics to win, it would be game one because LeBron doesn't play well in Boston Garden. You know, he just – it's just something – it's spooked, it's whatever. You know, it has some – he just doesn't play well in Boston. So if any game that the Celtics are going to squeak out, it may be game one, and that may be the only one. So I'm riding with LeBron. He is on a mission, like Louis said. And they just sit back waiting, and I think they actually play tonight at they may be playing now, if I'm not mistaken.
No, they play tomorrow.
But it's tomorrow?
Say,
okay,
it's
the draft.
Tomorrow.
The lottery draft is tonight. Okay, the lottery draft is tonight.
Yeah. So – okay, no. I want to touch on this real quick, and I'm just going to act really fast, and you guys weigh in on it. Derek Jeter.
Oh, sweet.
Unanimous MVP. Unanimous Hall of Fame. You know I was going to act.
I'll let Tony handle this.
Absolutely.
One, since this is her boy.
Absolutely. Are you kidding
Absolutely.
Me? The captain? He is a first ballot Hall of Famer. He's just
Is he unanimous? Is he going to vote for him?
Yes, I'm putting it out there. You heard it from Tony on the scoreboard this evening, May 16th.
Okay.
That is a resounding yes at 8:31 p.m. Peeps.
So you say?
Yes, you know I'm going strong for my boys.
Let me just set the picture. So you're saying that they've never done it for anybody else, but he's going to be the first.
What don't you understand, Jazz? He is in a class his own.
Okay.
Don't you hear the confidence in my voice?
Okay. I'm just checking. I mean, you know,
absolutely.
If I'm not mistaken, Louie, they've been playing baseball, what? They've been doing Hall of Fame stuff, what, 50 years? 75 years?
Well, longer than that. Yeah. I mean, we're talking a long history, a long tradition.
We'll stop at 100. And my point being.
And your point, Jazz.
In 100 years, they have never done this.
Uh-huh.
So you saying King Griffey, and Louie, I might be mistaken. King Griffey Jr. was the closest one to unanimous, correct?
I believe so, yes.
Okay.
So, if anybody's going to do it, it would be Mr. Jeter.
Derek Jeter.
If anybody's going to if anybody's going to break that ceiling, I would think it would be Mr. Jeter. But Mr. Louie, am I on track? Am I right? Am I wrong?
Look, I can make a case for Jeter to be the first unanimous Hall of Famer. He's definitely in the same boat as Griffey Jr. There's no doubt that as soon as he's eligible for the Hall of Fame in another 2 years, he will be there as soon as he's eligible. You can make the case that between his all-around stats that put him at the top on almost and a bunch of offensive categories, not only for just the Yankees, but in baseball in general, that gets him there. But he was such a great ambassador off the diamond in itself. Like, he played in the most pressure cooker situations. He played in the toughest city to play as a bachelor. Like, dude never got married. Dude never had a family. But you never heard of him in the news getting in trouble for acting a fool, acting stupid. You know, bringing a dart. He never brought a dart mark to the game like Canseco and McGuire and Bonds and Clemens and Pettit and all those guys did.
Mm-hmm. We're going to have somebody else weigh in on this. Somebody else wants to weigh in. We're going to bring in 973-517. Welcome to the scoreboard. What's your name and where you calling from?
Hello, Jerry calling from Jersey, and I have company. I have a Cowboys team next to me.
Woohoo! Hey, Gibbs.
You found one?
Yeah.
Yes.
Damn, Gibbs. Where'd you find it at? Can you take a picture of it? I need to see it. I don't believe it. That's why it was extinct.
Go ahead.
Wait,
Kathy. Yeah, we
got you.
So I was in Boss Lady Inbox. I asked if she wanted to do her pop-up. You know how she do her special appearance?
Right.
Like, not today or whatever, but she said, tell Jazz, don't be sitting in my chair. And tell her, oh, she said, she loves y'all, though. She said, tell him I love him and tell Jazz, don't be sitting in my chair and stop pushing his fast and 50 cents.
Yeah, Boss Lady sending crypt message to you, Jazz. You better watch out, buddy.
Man, I was on time, man. Come on, dude. I'm good.
Okay.
I understand.
That's some funny stuff.
Both of y'all said absolutely at the same time.
Yep. There you go. First time for everything. And he's going to lead the pack.
Yep.
And at least that's a player you know, Jack Gibbs. Isn't that one of the baseball players that you said a couple of shows ago that you know?
Yes, and I'm a Mets
fan. So, Louie, so she does know a baseball player.
Hey.
See,
we're getting somewhere. He only retired
from
the
league. Thank you.
Somewhere.
Thank you.
Baseball
players I've never even heard of. But I'm
like, you know,
everybody knows Jerry Jeter the same way everybody knows LeBron James. Exactly. Absolutely. First timer.
Well,
thank you so much. And welcome to our Cowboys fan. You got to call back during football season. We be going in, girl.
Wait a minute. No. What did the Cowboys fans say? I didn't hear nothing. What'd they say?
They don't.
Come on, can
they
you talk up? Let them know you exist, girl.
They say they're only going to win 8 games next year.
No.
Ouch.
I think Gibbs front. I think Gibbs acting like she would a Cowboy fan.
You see that?
It's cool. Gibbs is cool. I understand.
8 games. 8 games. Cowboys going 500.
There she goes. You heard it, Jazz?
See? And nothing in reply. Gibbs, you don't have no Cowboys fan there. Come on. Like I said, take a picture of it. I ain't going to believe it. They extinct.
They don't come out till they
2-0.
Oh,
no.
Wow. Oh, man, I can't wait.
All right, Gibbs.
Hey,
when you call in to be that Cowboy fan, you got to call from a different number. So that way we won't see your number. And we'd be like, oh, okay, that's a Cowboy fan.
Yeah, we're going to call from my number. Yeah.
Okay, All right, Gibbs. I hear a little bass in your voice, Gibbs. Okay. You get that voice down, though. I like that.
Jazz, you a mess.
Start laid up. On the
no worries. Keisha. My two brothers are Cowboy fans as well. Believe it or not.
Absolutely.
Yeah. We don't talk to them either. Yeah. Okay.
Y'all will. It's going to be a lot of us on here. Why? Trying to tell you.
Okay.
You
like
you
said.
Pick up the call.
We're going to hear a lot from y'all on week two, but by week eight, when y'all four and four, like Louis said, 8-8. Y'all going to be 8-8.
8-8.
I'm enjoying your show. I'm definitely going to start tuning in.
Dude,
and
please.
You guys are doing an absolutely good job. Good job.
Oh, thank you. Yeah. Thank you so much. We appreciate that.
She know it every Tuesday. She know already. Every Tuesday, 8 to 9.
Well,
yeah, we be
you
talking
come back,
that talk,
come
girl.
Back. See, when you come back, we treat you better. It's your first time.
Oh, right.
Treat you rough.
Eight.
Well, thank you. I appreciate you.
Eight.
And that kind of struggles all year.
Okay.
Well, thanks so much for tuning in, guys. We so appreciate you.
Absolutely.
Good night, y'all.
Thank you. Hey, y'all have a good
night.
I'm
going to put you back in the queue.
Good night.
I'm going to put you back in the queue, Gibbs. Thanks again, sweetie. Awesome. Thanks, Gibbs. She always comes through. She be finding those cowboy fans.
Hey. There is no truth. There is no truth yet that you found one. I have doubts. I have serious doubts right now. I have serious doubts.
You
sound
like a cowboy
fan.
Now you know she always comes.
Gibbs, my girl. But I'm saying, her finding a Cowboys fan in May, come on, man. I need a picture of something. She can't just be like,
Jess.
I got a Cowboy fan. And because it's her. It's cool, though.
Jess.
Love you, Gibbs.
That's
my girl.
Funny stuff. That's the funny
that's
stuff.
That's like finding a New York Giants fan after week 12.
Wait a minute. Louis, you still on my Homer team. Now, you know, Giants come out. They come out big.
You come out strong, but by about week 12 in the playoff shots, I hope you all kind of disappear.
No, they sit on them. They blame Eli for everything. It's all Eli's fault.
Actually, Jazz, we figured it out. They come out strong early. After about week 5 or 6, when they realize their season's kind of struggling, they all slap on Cowboy jerseys.
Yeah.
Oh, don't see you. No, you ain't never seen a Giant fan in a Cowboy jersey. You got the wrong team, Louie. Now you really pushing your envelopes tonight.
Okay.
We having some static.
Okay.
We apologize for the unclear messages. We may be able to just squeak out a few more minutes.
Okay,
Mr. Louie.
I got a question for you guys. Okay, since we only got 15 minutes. We got 15 minutes. Let me get one more in. Okay, number one pick. NBA. Who should the pick go to? I'm not saying
whoever's got the worst
you
record.
Me?
Who should the pick go to?
Whoever's
any
got the worst regular season record?
Playoff. Yes, any team, because you have, you know, the Pelicans, the Sacramento Kings, the Knicks, 76ers, Boston, L.A., Charlotte. You have a couple more. So who do you think would it should go to?
Brooklyn.
In your opinion.
Brooklyn.
Why Brooklyn?
Because they have the worst regular season record of any other team in the league.
But, see, the problem you have is you know who Brooklyn pick belongs to, right?
That doesn't change anything. But that doesn't change anything.
Okay.
MLB, NHL, NFL, all your major sports, worst team gets the number one pick. What you do with that pick, what you do with the rights of that pick is up to your team. But you were the worst team in the league. You get the chance of the best player coming out of the draft. That's how it should be.
They,
I don't care how many ping pong balls
they don't own the pick.
That's fine. But there was their pick to trade away.
Yeah.
So they traded away the rights to their what should be the number one overall draft pick. That's up to them. But you should not choose the order of the draft because one team's got 17 ping pongs and the other one's got 15 and you just got screwed.
Well. Without the ping pong balls, certain things wouldn't have happened. Like Kyrie going to Cleveland a year after LeBron.
Six.
You know, I can cite three others, but that one was the most apparent one. And then you get
Davis going to the Hornets after Chris Paul leaves. That's not six either. Come on.
Okay. We're not focused now. Let's stay focused. Miss Tony, what do you think? Who do you think should get number one pick? Who do you think?
Other than the Knicks, I think it should go to The Lakers are up there, but I wouldn't even say that the Nets are in the – I wouldn't even put them in there because they don't have a pick. So I'm looking at Boston, and they have the, I think, 25%. I know Louis is our
numbers
guy.
They have Brooklyn's pick.
They
have Brooklyn's pick.
Right, so I wouldn't even consider Brooklyn as being one of the least. And just with the luck of the Irish, you know, they'll probably get that number one pick because they have such a high percentage rate of getting it. But
it shouldn't be a chance of getting it.
Yeah.
It shouldn't be a chance. It shouldn't.
Well, you know what? You know what the funny thing is? looking at that trade, they traded for an old Paul Pierce, about to retire Garnett, and an older Jason Terry. Mm-hmm. And they gave up five players, three number one, and the right to swap picks in 2017.
They don't have a first round pick until 2019 or 2020.
Yeah.
From that trade.
Yeah.
Wow.
Or from the trades that they made.
That's crazy.
And the thing is, next year Boston gets another one.
But
how do you just trade away picks?
But to go back to it, like you guys are saying that because Boston owns the rights to that pick, they shouldn't get number one overall.
Is it Boston's fault?
No, we didn't say they shouldn't get it. I think they should get it.
I would like for them to get it. Because in my world...
It's not...
Mm-hmm.
Huh? What you going to say? Come on.
I was going to say, it's not Boston's fault that they took those trades, made themselves a contender
without
the draft and without, you know, spending a lot of money on superstars. And now are a number one seed in their conference and potentially the number one overall draft pick. Like, that's the smart moves by the GM. That's why I think the lottery system is – I don't like the lottery system. I think it's crap, but it is what it is. And that's why I'm saying the Nets or the Celtics a la the Nets should be the number one overall draft pick when it's come time for the draft.
Well, I'm hoping – what I'm hoping is I'm hoping that when Boston gets the number one pick this year, that Silver will blow it up. I hope so.
I don't think they
because
will.
There is no reason why you should have the number one team in the Eastern Conference according to seeding and you get the number one pick off of going to the finals the previous year. For me, that's a flaw in the system. Now, I think that they should blow it up, but I kind of also agree with you, Louis, that they probably won't, but they should.
There's no flaw in the system because the Nets traded that draft pick 4 years ago or whenever that trade was. Like, the Nets four years ago put pen to paper saying you can have our first-round draft pick for the next six, 7 years or whatever long it is. Like, it's not the Celtics' fault that the Nets then sucked.
No, 15, 16, 18, and 20.
Yeah, it's not the Celtics' fault that the Nets turned around and sucked, and now that they have the worst league in the record, like that's the Nets' fault for mortgaging their future. I can't stand the lottery system. It's so dumb. Like it's to keep people from tanking. If the team wants to tank, let them tank. Their fans are gonna be pissed off. It's okay. Like let them lose. The team sucks anyway. Like, even if they're out there trying their hardest, they were still going to lose 80% of their games. Let it happen.
Yeah, but, you know, but you know what? But I will say this. For you're absolutely right, but the lottery system also, I also agree with you, Louis, in the fact that lottery system also has a lot of league tampering. I hate to use that word, but it is. When you have Patrick Ewing goes to the Knicks, out of every team in the league, mysteriously, the year he comes out, he goes to the Knicks.
There you go. The year Tim Duncan is drafted, The year Tim Duncan was drafted number one overall. One injury causes the Spurs to be a sucky team for one season. Getting to the number one overall draft pick, they draft Tim Duncan. They have a dynasty for 15 years.
Oh, Houston miraculously gets the number one pick for LaJuan.
Kyrie after LeBron leaves?
Well, no. The even worse one was not Kyrie, but 2 years later when they picked Anthony Bennett.
Oh, no. The worst one after that is when they pick Andrew Wiggins so they can trade him to Timberwolves to get Kevin Love when LeBron comes back.
So since LeBron left, they had three number one overall draft picks.
I believe
three.
So. Yes, Kyrie, Anthony Bennett, and Andrew Wiggins were all technically drafted by the Cavaliers at number one overall. Andrew Wiggins is the only one I'm not 100% on. I know he was drafted by the Cavs. I'm just not sure if it was number one overall or not.
I don't think that anybody else. I mean, the year Andrew Wiggins came out, I just don't believe that there was a team. Now, I know the Michael Jordan thing happened, the Kevin Durant thing happened, but I just can't remember that draft being so recent where somebody said, we're not going to pick Anthony Wiggins and we're going to pick this guy. I just don't. It probably happened. It just doesn't compute for me. Anthony Wiggins had the status at the time of coming out of, he was going to be a beast. He was going to be. It was no, everybody said, not saying that everybody know more than.
He was the first overall pick. Don't worry about it.
Yes. Okay, thank you.
And don't forget, you know, Philly may just squeak that out again for that number one pick. You know,
absolutely.
The balls are literally up in the air. So it's going to be interesting to see where they land this year with this draft pick. But who do you think will be going as number one, though?
I don't know. I don't know.
It really depends on who gets it.
Yeah, absolutely. That plays a really big part. I mean, if you're LA.
Really,
if it's anybody other than the Celtics, I don't see Lonzo Ball taking – I don't see Lonzo Ball dropping too far from one or two. If it's the Celtics, though, they don't need another score. They don't need another point guard. They don't need another scrawny two guard. They don't need another scrawny guard who's just a prolific scorer and a decent playmaker. Like they need something else. So if it's the Celtics who end up with that pick, they'll go somewhere else. If it's any other team with a high probability of getting that lottery pick, other than maybe like the 76ers, I think it's Lonzo Ball.
Yeah, but my thing is,
really?
If you're L.A., why would you take Lonzo Ball when 2 years ago you just had D'Angelo Russell?
Because I don't think they think D'Angelo Russell is what they think he is. And that's Lonzo Ball, I mean, that's even if you keep D'Angelo Russell and get Lonzo Ball, that's a pretty good 1-2 combo, because I mean Russell's got some some length to him and a decent wingspan on the defensive side.
I can see that.
And if you get Ball and he pun intended, balls out, D'Angelo Russell becomes trade bait for in a league where point guards determine success. So
then you put and also what?
But that's to say whether a team will take what they need instead of the best player available. You know, because sometimes they just want to take them because they feel it's the best pick. But is it the best pick for your team?
That's the other thing. If Boston thinks that they can get Gordon Hayward or Serge Ibaka in free agency.
Or they think that
in the middle of the season they can get a Jimmy Butler or a Paul George, they may not think they need, a wing scorer or a wing defender. They may just take Lonzo Ball for the excitement and the coming off the bench.
Yeah.
But, I don't see the Celtics taking Ball, but It could happen.
I just don't like.
I
just
it
don't
can,
like.
Anything can happen.
I just don't think Hayward. Honestly, since you mentioned it, I just don't see Hayward. I see Hayward staying in Utah. I just can't see him.
The only team he'll leave for is Boston.
Why Boston?
In my opinion. Mm-hmm. Because they're the next. He's already come out and said that if he's going to leave Utah, he's leaving for a contender. Boston's probably one, maybe two pieces away from really giving LeBron and the Cavs a fight in the East. Gordon Hayward could be that mm-hmm. piece. He could easily be that piece. He's another young cornerstone player who's
but he could be a,
as
he
a
could
wing
be a
player
piece on any team.
But as a wing player, only LeBron has put up better efficiency stats than Gordon Hayward this year. So he is a game changer. If he thinks the East and fighting LeBron is an easier path to the championship than trying to fight the Rockets, the Clippers, the Warriors, the Spurs, and everybody else, he may jump ship to the weaker Eastern Conference and try to team up and go make something happen in the East.
I'll be that would be wow. I mean, but you know.
I was told we were talking free agency today, so I did my homework.
Absolutely. Well, I mean, I figured George is going to L.A., working out
now,
with Kobe,
see, but,
la, la, la.
But I found something that I'm doing homework. George isn't a free agent this mm-hmm. summer. He's a free agent
next
summer.
Absolutely.
So the Pacers mm-hmm. could trade him, and if they trade him, there's no telling where he's going.
Yeah, but you're not going to get the
that's
right.
True.
You're not going to get pieces back. Because you're not going, cause everybody know you're probably going
if
to L.A.,
Boston
so nobody's going to give
be.
You what you want, which is
but if
young
exactly.
athlete.
But if Boston or the Clippers think that they're a wing scorer away from taking it and making a fight out of it, you could get it out of them.
I think
especially
the Clippers,
Boston.
Honestly. Well, I think Boston, if Danny Ainge is, you know, staying on his plan, he's going to take the number one pick. If he don't get what he wants, he'll pick somebody. And he'll make a maybe late season run. If they're in the run next year, if he has to trade some assets, because the thing is, all of Boston players, all of them are complimentary guys.
Okay,
so,
okay. If Boston drafts Lonzo Ball with the number one overall draft pick, and they realize that they're Paul George away from making a real fight for the championship, you now have Lonzo Ball to trade to the Pacers to get a Paul George.
You would be
perfectly okay doing it because you already have Isaiah Thomas and Marcus Smart. So you don't really need Lonzo Ball, especially as a rookie or a second-year player. It could happen.
Okay.
I'm not saying it will happen. I'm just saying Danny Ainge has shown that he's on the ball. He knows what he's doing. It could be fun, but
yeah.
Not like here in New York.
Well, okay, New
saying.
York. Okay. So the Knicks. What do you think about? Now I'm just gonna throw it out there, but what do you think about max out? Because I think that it's gonna happen for two teams. Either New York or Atlanta. Max out deal, trade Blake Griffin. Either New York or he'll leave as a free agent and go to Atlanta. Either of those make sense to you guys?
I don't think so. Why would he want to come to Atlanta? Like,
well,
Atlanta's nowhere close to a championship.
Well, they make the playoffs. And if they don't re-sign Millsap, and that's highly likely, even though I think it's a mistake, but if you don't re-sign Millsap, you get a young, athletic guy, a new face, and you got to ride out the 2 years of Howard, and then you could build around Blake.
If I'm the Hawks, I am blowing up this core. I'm not, you can't really let Millsap walk. You got to fight, quote, air quotes. You got, because being in the playoffs and losing in the first round or the second round, it gets you the number 18 overall draft pick every year. Guess what? NBA championships are not won in the draft. Because there's only one LeBron James. There's only a couple LeBron James, Kevin Durant's in a generation. So you're not going to win it in the draft. You got to win it with salary cap, making the right moves. And right now, this team's core is not built to win a championship. Dennis Schroeder is not a championship point guard. Dwight Howard is a bum. The rest of that team is nothing but low-level role players. They are not going to win a championship anytime soon. They need to blow it up and fight for lottery picks and have cap space to try to woo some people to come in. Blake Griffin is not the answer here in Atlanta.
Okay. So what do you think about New York, Ms. Tony? For Blake.
Well, you know, we only have like 5 seconds left, and we can go on, and then, but we're going to revisit this because the lady in my ear is about to cut us off. That was 10 seconds ago. But, it all depends
on what we're going to do.
Absolutely. So we thank everybody for joining in here on the School Bus this Tuesday night. Don't forget, we will not be here next week, next Tuesday. My baby girl is graduating from college.
Graduation week, baby. Yes.
7 p.m. next Saturday. I'm sorry, next Tuesday.
Yes.
I mean, I'll be here next Saturday, too. Like, we can get this done. I'm just saying. I offer my services.
Well, we thank you for that, Mr. Louis Mack. But once again, you are listening live to the Scoreboard. We are your radio tailgate party. My name is Tony, and I'm joined by my two sports guru, Mr. Louis Mack, as well as the one and only Mr. Jazz Scoreboard. And we're usually here Tuesday night at 8 p.m., excluding some special dates that we can't comply with. But be sure to tune in. And if you missed anything, don't forget to hit our archives and take it from the top. Once again, thank you for joining the Scoreboard here on Real Raw Radio. Good night, everybody.
Yeah.
Bye, guys.
All right, Louis.
Good night.
Thank you, Gibbs. And your double voices.
As always.
All right.
Jazz,
get that beat for me,
right.
Baby.
Leave our Gibbs alone.
She did have double voices. Cowboys
fan. Good night, everybody.
All right.
Did don't get stood out to Loaded. You see this iPhone cup in my hand? That bitch loaded. You see this cigarette on my nigga just rolled up? That bitch loaded. No, I had to do a remix.
Better. Walk up in the bank. Walk up in the bank.